Hey, I'm so glad to be here. My name's Steve Irwin. And I just changed my hair, that's all. There's nothing else. I just did a little comb over thing going on here. So I'm really glad to see all of you. And some of you I get to see some, and sometimes I don't see you that much, but I'm glad to see you today. I can see some of you too. I can see there are people sitting in the sun out there. I can see you out there in the sun. I can see you over here. And you have a spotlight. Some of you are anointed. You've got that sunshine on you here. But then there's a group back here too. I see them as well. Now let me ask you a question. Do y'all ever have good news, bad news? Do y'all ever have that happen to you? I was talking to Brian, the guy that was playing the mandolin this morning, and he was telling me that he was in a situation recently where he had bad news and then good news. Yeah. He bought a house and there was a problem with the plumbing. Y'all are eating, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I mean, it was a real big problem. It's like when you take a shower, not so much, okay? And so they had to come and straighten that out. It was really a mess, no lie. But things are better now. So he had bad news first, right? I want to thank you for that underwhelming response. And then he had good news. How many of you have bad news this morning? Anybody have bad news? It's okay if you have bad news. Go ahead. Yeah, we got one. Okay, two. Yeah, anybody else? We got. So some people have bad news, and that happens. I'm sorry, and we're going to talk about some of that. But how many of you maybe have good news today? Anybody have good news? Yeah? Okay. Well, you know, the bad news was that Jesus died, right? But the good news is that he was resurrected. Last Sunday, we celebrated worship in the water here, right? Because it was a monsoon, wasn't it? And I want to thank both of you who came last week for the Easter service here at the beach, because it was really bad. But some of the faithful folks showed up for it, right? And so, you know, it's great that we have some good news. And Easter goes on, right? Today, we're celebrating. It's not over. It just keeps going. Now, did you hear about the farmer who went into the bank? And he talked to the banker, and he said, I've got good news and I've got bad news. And the banker said, well, give me the bad news first and save the good news for last. He said, okay. So he said, you know that money you loaned me that I could buy my tractor and my combine with? And he said, yeah. He said, well, the crops didn't make, and I can't pay you back for that. Oh, that's bad news, he said. But he said, but that's not all. He said, you know the money you loaned me for the seed and the fertilizer? Yeah. Well, the crops didn't make, and I can't pay you back for that. Oh, that's bad, he said. He said, but wait, that's not all. He said, you know that money you loaned me for the land? Well, the crops didn't make, and I can't pay you back for that. And he said, well, that's terrible news. Tell me quickly, what's the good news? He said, you've been so good to me, I'm going to keep doing business with you. Now, here's the deal. God looks at you and me, and no matter how bad we fail, he said, you've been so good, I'm going to keep doing business with you. He doesn't give up on us, does he? He loves us. He knows that we're human. He knows we make mistakes. And I think that many times God loves us so much more than we love ourselves. Today, I've got some good news, and the good news is that God loves us. And that makes a difference because of the resurrection. See, if Jesus hadn't died and been resurrected, it really wouldn't matter, would it? But since he's been resurrected, it changes everything. I mean, can you imagine going to a funeral and it's somebody you love and you're grieving and you're crying and you're struggling and then all of a sudden they're resurrected? Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, Jesus never went to funerals. Think about this. Check it out. Jesus only went to resurrections. I like that. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So today we're celebrating the resurrection. Good news. The good news is that he's here. Now, in Mark 16, we see the followers of Jesus who are depressed and discouraged because he's died. But then they are experiencing the good news of his resurrection. So there's three resurrection appearances I want us to look at today, okay? It'll be brief. We're going to have communion together, but I want you to focus on these three resurrection appearances and what those resurrection appearances meant to the people that he saw, but also to you and me today. Now, do you have an outline in your bulletin? Do you? Okay, so there's 3 points there. And if you want to, just so you'll know where we're going and when he's going to get through speaking, you can take that thing and fill it in. You don't have to. It's not required. You get extra credit either way. But if you want to, so you can keep up with it, so you know when you're going to brunch here in a little bit, there it is. Okay, number one, rewarded faithfulness. Rewarded faithfulness. That's what I want to talk about. The first resurrection appearance was to Mary Magdalene. Now, I want you to think about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is a broken woman. Hello there, Birdie. There's birdies flying through here. It's great. Mary Magdalene was a broken woman. She was a woman who was looking for love in all the wrong places. She was a person who had been abused and misused, and just a person that was really a broken person. And Jesus came along, and he showed her what unconditional love really is. Now, if you had been Mary Magdalene, how would that affect you? I mean, you love Jesus. You've gotten allegiance to him. You want to spend as much time with him as you possibly can. Here's somebody who's taught you what real love is all about. And so what does she do? Jesus is in the tomb. And so she goes to the garden there beside it, and she wants to be near to Jesus. And it's there that she sees this guy, and through her tears, he looks like he's just the gardener there. And she sees him, but she doesn't really see him. And then he speaks to her. And when she hears his voice, she knows it's Jesus. See, she's familiar with that voice of Jesus. Are you familiar with the voice of Jesus? Do you listen for him every day? Do you spend time with him? Do you celebrate the resurrection with him? Last Sunday was Easter, but what about this week? Each day this week, we could celebrate that resurrection and the experience we have with him. So her faithfulness was rewarded, wasn't it? She got to be there. Now, when all seems lost and we're in our hour of need, we want to give up, but we don't have to give up because he loves us. You know, I remember I was 40 years old, and out of the blue one day, the president of Asbury Seminary came to me, and he gave me a scholarship to go on this deal called the Beeson Program. And all it meant was that 3 times a year for 3 years, I got to go with a bunch of other preachers to visit some of the best churches. And when I say best, they were really good at one thing, better than anybody else. You could learn from them. Each one of them, it was different things, but each one of them was really cool. And it was a great experience for me. And that just kind of fell in my lap. God just blessed me with that. And then that same year, I was going to lunch one day with the staff, and this guy came by. He never came by during the week. He always came by on Sunday, but I didn't see him a lot during the week. He said, "Hey, can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." And we went in and we sat down, and he said that he and his wife wanted to give Laura and me a trip to Israel, to the Holy Land. I mean, it was just two things that just happened that were really neat. And it was like God saying, "Hey, I'm paying attention to you, and I'm going to reward your faithfulness. And I'm just going to give you a couple of gifts this year to just kind of encourage you so that you don't give up and you keep trying." Now, how many of you are basketball fans? We have any basketball fans here? Are there any sports events that are going on here? You know, like last night maybe and tomorrow night. Anybody know anything about that at all? Some of you are smiling, your team won. Others of you are not smiling, you're bitter. No, I'm just saying, hey. But tomorrow night is the big clincher, right? The Final Four ends. And so, well, how many of you remember a guy named Larry Bird? Anybody remember him? Okay, well, for those of you who are younger, Larry Bird retired from basketball in 1993. Do you know why Larry Bird was such a great basketball player for the Boston Celtics? It wasn't because of his natural ability. It was because he practiced harder than anybody else. They said that when other opposing coaches would come into the Boston Gardens the day before the game, they would walk in and they were going to take their team in there to practice, and they would hear noise up in the catwalk there at the Boston Gardens. You know what that was? That was Larry Bird running laps. He was up there running, exercising. He worked harder. He practiced harder than anybody else. Larry Bird said that what he would do before a basketball game is he would go to the foul line, the free throw line. He would go to both of them. He would look for some kind of little mark, some kind of little chip where the paint was chipped, some kind of, and if he couldn't find anything, he would take some chalk and make a mark on the foul line. And he said what that did for him was when he got to the free throw line, he would look down and he would focus on that mark that was there. And that would remind him how he was imperfect, but he practiced harder than anybody else. He would focus on that mark, and he would have the confidence. He'd say, I can make this free throw. And he would make it because he was so focused, because that was a way that he would remember how hard that he worked. Well, you and I can practice our faith. We can exercise spiritually to grow closer to God. And then our reward will be rewarded for our faithfulness. Now, the second thing is restored confidence. Restored confidence. The second appearance that Jesus made was to those two guys walking to Emmaus. There's these two guys, and they've been with Jesus. They've been in Jerusalem. But now Jesus has been crucified. And so they're waiting. They don't know about his resurrection, and they're walking to Emmaus. I want you to think for just a minute, what would it be like to be those two guys? You've been with Jesus. You've had this experience. You've been in Jerusalem, and then he's crucified. And now you're kind of depressed and discouraged, right? It's over. And so you're walking back to Emmaus. You're going back to your hometown. You know what I think? I think what happens for people a lot of times is they have this experience with Jesus, and it's really neat, and they go with it for a little while, and then without really thinking about it, they go, well, that was fun, and that was neat, and that was good, and I guess that's over now, and I'm just going to go on with my life. And Jesus is going, hey, I'm still here. I was resurrected. Don't forget me. We can spend forever together. We don't have to stop. You can hang on there with me. And it makes all the difference. And so I wanted to encourage us today to see that we can have restored confidence if we've given up on something. When we feel broken and we feel worthless, Jesus comes to us to encourage us and to affirm us and to give us confidence and have it restored. I remember when I was at my third year at Middle Tennessee State University, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Anybody know where that is? Yeah, okay. My wife does. She went to school there. That's good. I'm glad she's paying attention. Okay. So anyway, I was in my third year there. And how many majors can you have in 3 years of college? Anyone know? Because I got the record. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records. I had four majors, and I wasn't through yet in 3 years, okay? Now, why? Well, because I was fighting going into the ministry. I was minoring in religion, but I was just majoring in this, majoring in that. And so finally, after that third year, God gave me the opportunity to go into the ministry. And I moved down here to Niceville, Florida, and I went to work in the church, at First Methodist Church. I answered the call to the ministry. I never looked back. I transferred to Huntington College. I majored in religion and philosophy. I made great grades. I graduated. It was wonderful. And it's, you know, ever since then, it's been, you know, just onward and upward after that. But, you know, for 3 years there, I was kind of like, what am I supposed to be doing? And I was just flipping burgers at Hardee's, right? In fact, it was the busiest Hardee's in Tennessee, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, right there by the college. And I was the day cook there. I was just one big grease ball, cooking those hamburgers all the time. In fact, it was while I was standing over that open flame that God called me into the ministry. No lie, that really happened. Just like that. It really did. No lie. All right. Well, here's the deal. What do you do when you need restored confidence? I had it. I gained it. I had a purpose. All right. Norman Vincent Peale tells the true story of this guy who was raised in poverty. His mom died when he was a kid, and then his father was an alcoholic, and he grew up and continued in poverty, and he got married young, and it didn't last, and he became an alcoholic, and his wife left him, and it was just a sad, hopeless failure. And one day, he was at rock bottom, and he cried out to God for help. And he said, God, just give me a chance. Just help me have a life. Just help me, show me what to do. Not long after that, he applied for a job as a used car salesman. The manager said that initially he wasn't even going to give this guy a job, but he decided to, I'll take a chance on him. And so he gave him a job. Did you know that that guy who applied for that job, who had been a tremendous failure, his name was Joe Girard. Joe Girard became the only car salesman listed in the Guinness Book of World Records. Listen, in 1973, how many cars could you sell in 1 year? He sold 1,425 cars in 1 year. Can you imagine that? He was the number one car salesman every year from 1966 until 1977. His lifetime of total car sales was 13,001. Can you imagine selling that many cars? He had a record 174 cars that he sold in 1 year. That's a lot of cars. I mean, that's a lot of sales. Now, he retired in 1978 to teach other people how to sell cars. And he wrote the book, How to Sell Anything to Anybody. And he was very successful at it. You know, in a moment of crisis, he could have given up. But he gave it one more shot. And God answered his prayer and restored his confidence. In times of depression, when Jesus has died, when you're about to give up, when things are their bleakest, God reminds us, hey, I'm not gone, I'm resurrected. Here I am, here's my presence. And he restores our confidence. Okay, the last thing, renewed commission. Renewed commission. What does it mean to have a renewed purpose in life? The disciples, the third people who Jesus appeared to, you know, they were just kind of fussing about what to do next and where to go and how to act and where to focus because they didn't have a leader anymore. And Jesus appeared to them and he gave them the Great Commission. Their commission was renewed. You know what it's like when somebody gives you a purpose in life? They had a purpose now. And, you know, I was appointed to a church years ago when I was serving while I was finishing college. Laura and I were newlyweds, and I was appointed to these two churches up in Kentucky, my student appointment while I was in seminary, right? And I was talking to my mom, and I said, you know, I'm really tired, and I'm burnt out. I've been going to school full time. I've been serving the church. I've been working all the time, and I just don't have much left to give. And she said, right now you've been appointed to two churches in Kentucky, but you haven't met the people yet. When you meet the people, you'll be re-energized. You'll have a purpose. Everything will change, and you will focus on them. And she was right. I had a renewed commission. I had a purpose for being there. There's a Methodist preacher, and his name is Bishop Woody White. And on a Saturday afternoon, he was watching football at his house. While he was watching the game, his sister called him, and she was hysterical. She was telling him about their mom. Their mom, 73 years old, had been beaten, violently attacked, robbed, and physically abused. Her face was bruised and bloody. Her clothes were torn. Her eyes were almost swollen shut. He said he got in the car and he began the drive, thinking about his mom and hoping that she would be okay. It was a long distance, and he had to drive for several hours. And he finally got there to where his mom was. And Bishop Woody White said that he walked over to his mom, and he just looked at her, and he started crying because he was so brokenhearted because this has happened to her. And then he said he just put his arms around her, and he hugged her, and he held her close. And it was when he hugged her, he noticed something. He said, Mom, is that fried chicken I smell? And she said, yeah, son. I thought that you might be hungry after your long drive. And so I cooked you some chicken, your favorite. And Woody White said, he started crying again. How could his mom, after this horrible tragedy, how could she be thinking about him? But she did. And then she looked at him and she said this, Son, I want to tell you something, and I don't want you to ever forget it. God is good. God is good. God is good. Wow. He had some good news that she shared with him, even in the midst of that tragedy. Talk about a renewed commission. Wouldn't that send you out? I mean, if she can do that, God is good, isn't he? Well, I just want to say God's good today. And we get to come to the table. We get to take communion. And you know, he says to us that it doesn't matter if we're Methodists We don't have to belong to the church. We just need to be people who intend to follow him and take advantage of that good news. We can come today and we can take this bread. Jesus took it and blessed it, and he said, "Hey, this is my body." He broke it and gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take this and eat it. Remember that my body was broken." And then also he took the cup and he blessed it. And he gave it to them and he said, "Now take this and drink it. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many. For the forgiveness of sins," he said, "do this in remembrance of me." So today when you come, you'll take the bread and you'll take the cup. You'll have this opportunity to commune with him and with other people in the family of God. Boy, that's good news today, isn't it? Now, let me tell you some things. I'm going to ask those who are helping me and assisting me to come and prepare the elements real quick, if they would, and then we'll go ahead and get ready to serve this. But let me talk to you about it, okay? What I want you to know is this. Let me put this back over here for Brian, or I'll be in big trouble. You know, he's the enforcer. Okay? So let me tell you about this, okay? When you come to communion, one thing that you realize is, just go ahead and prepare that if you would. One thing you realize is that there's an invitation. Everybody gets an invitation to come to communion, right? Well, here's the other thing. When you come to communion, you also have a chance to confess your sins. Because God says for us to confess our sins and then to take advantage of the invitation that we're given, right? Could y'all serve each other communion right now? Would you do that for each other? Just the servers serve each other communion? Okay, so you have an invitation, and then you have confession that you make, okay? Well, then when you come, it's an opportunity to say, "Now, Jesus, I want to thank you that you died for me and that you forgive me of my sins." So you have an invitation, you confess, then you thank Jesus. And then one more thing that you can do this week. What difference will it make for you this week because you've had communion today? Did you know that you might be the one person that reassures someone else of the resurrection because of what you do this week? This morning I went in to buy my paper, and the girl who was working there had worked a lot of hours, and she was really sleepy. And so I just tried to cheer her up a little bit. And I told her my little joke that was at the first of the sermon, and she actually laughed at it. It kind of woke her up a little bit, you know? And this next week, maybe you can just be a person who kind of shares good news with someone and makes a difference in their lives and blesses them, okay? All right, can I have communion? And then we're going to invite folks to come and to receive it together.